Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Ziegenkopf have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Hull, shoots good! Bobby Hull!
Junot trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bork and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men. Cutting for the net, he's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of the net, a shot! Desjardins following the play, and he misses the short cut. Here he is again! Scores! Desjardins!
Hockey fans, you're listening to the hard-checking, kick-saving, sudden-death scoring NHL Breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined as always by George Kurtz of RotoExperts.com. We're bringing you all the off-ice action, as well as keeping you fans and you fantasy owners on top of your respective leagues with our fantasy reports, which is sure to start next week. Includes the IR goalie waiver wire recommendations and line combination update reports. Like I said, to keep you all fully informed of what's happening around the NHL. Today is, of course, Friday, September 28th, just 5 days until the drop of the puck of the National Hockey League season. It's what we're here for. Certainly a lot of excitement going on. Teams wrapping up their preseason schedules, as well as finalizing, or at least starting to finalize, their NHL season rosters. So a lot of interesting little tidbits coming in with all that. So we might sort of talk a little bit about that on Monday's show, since we do have some things to complete talking about today. First and foremost, the potential breakout player conversation. George and I going team by team. Conversation took a bit longer than I expected it would take. I thought we'd sort of get that all in on Monday show. Obviously, it did not, so we stopped halfway through. We're going to pick up that conversation about midway through the league with the tri-state area teams in just a moment. But if you are just coming to us now and you're specifically a fantasy hockey owner, you have your draft this weekend, you haven't done it yet this week or in the past week, maybe even the beginning of next week. George and I have our draft together later on tonight. I've got another draft that I'm commissioner for on Sunday. But if you are coming to us last minute, you need to prepare. We did team-by-team fantasy rankings, starting with goaltenders on September 3rd show. On the 5th of September, we did top 40 centers, as well as top 25 left wings on the 7th, top 25 plus right wings on the 10th, top 25 plus defensemen on the 14th, followed that up with a sleeper show. And then, of course, we've been talking about some, as I said, breakout players, or at least potential breakout players that we're identifying. And we sort of peppered in a whole lot of draft strategies, draft tips, and suggestions along the way. If we have some time, we might have a little reminder on some of those some very same questions, maybe some additional questions, depending on what time, how much time we have in the show. Also going to be talking predictions, but I'm sort of favoring pushing that off until Monday's show. But again, depends a little bit on the time that we have. So enough of me pontificating, George. Let's get back to the conversation. Pick up the breakout or potential breakout player potentials with the New Jersey Devils. Obviously, they had at least what many people thought was a surprisingly good year last year. I think a lot of people felt that at least slowly but surely this team was headed on the right track. I don't think many people expected them to make the playoffs last year. They certainly did on the back of Taylor Hall's MVP season. So you would imagine, again, another step forward. You got some nice young players there. Hershey obviously had a nice year last year, and very early in the season ascended to number one. I don't know if Hershey would sort of Hershey. I was putting an R in there for some reason. I'm not sure if we'd already consider him a breakout player since he had that nice rookie season. But when you look at this team, George, who jumps out at you as a player who could potentially quote unquote break out? Would Hershey? Hershey be there, or would you have other people in mind that you're looking at? George?
First of all, you're having a draft on Sunday. That's interesting. Must not be too many football fans in that league of yours. It's be almost impossible for me to pull up a draft on Sunday. Not that I'd want it. Too busy a work day for me, but surprised. This, for me, if my drafts, I The home league you and I are playing at tonight will be my fifth, and it will be my last. I am in the middle of a slow draft, however, right now. They call it a dynasty league. It's not. It's a heavy keeper league, keep up to 18 players. And I think I'm in round 22 of what that would be. So fun time, draft time. Enjoy it. It's all different types of leagues. That's what hockey is. You know, I don't play in too many of the same types of leagues. Like, every league is completely different. And I'll tell you, these breakout players would come in handy in this type of league. I mentioned, it's a deep keeper league. Keep up to 18 players. It's a salary cap league. So you only pay Alex Ovechkin. Let's go with John Tavares. It's $11 million a year. The cap of this league is $75 million. You do the math, that's 1/7. Really tough to keep someone like Tavares. You know, if you look at the waiver wire in this league during the year, there'll be a lot of superstars that are out there. They're just making too much money. People can't fit them under the cap and still get a full team. So you got decisions to make here, which is where, once again, a show like this comes in handy. Looking at breakout players generally may not be making that much money. So it could help. Guys, you could steal in a redraft league, your snake draft leagues. Maybe you could take them around 17, round 18. Dartboard throws. That's really what they are, the dartboard throws. They work out great. They don't, you move on to the next guy. You know, so it's not really all that big a deal here. Devils. Now, once again, everyone's definition of breakout sleeper is going to be different. So we're going to name players that, what are you talking about? This guy was valuable last year. Sure, he might be, but maybe still not name worthy or at the top of everyone's tongue. Well, a lot of fantasy owners here. The man that comes to mind is Jesper Bratt here. On offense, he's somebody who I think could be a breakout player, even though, once again, even the league you and I played, I believe somebody had him for a little while last year, so his name is out there. But you know, somebody who could maybe be more mainstream, I'd go Jesper Bratt here on offense. Defense, I mean, Vatanen, people know Vatanen, Andy Green. Will Butcher is someone who I would go with next, even though Butcher, the name Butcher, how do you think he'd be very popular, right? Big, strong name here. I think Kincaid at goaltend is interesting as well. In all drafts now, you're seeing Corey Schneider. People forget about Corey Schneider because he's being dropped so far on lists because no one knows where he's going to play. That Kincaid could be a steal for at least a month or two. And if you have Schneider, if you draft Schneider, you're going to want to have Kincaid either way.
Some very interesting names there. And again, I can see a number of different players. I don't know about breaking out, but certainly a number of different players on this team really taking a step forward, including all the names that you sort of just threw out there. Just to pause a little bit, your point is well taken about my Sunday draft, and there's a very specific reason for it, George. This draft, or in this league, I have people, I'm the commissioner of this league, that I have to account for 7 time zones. I have a couple of owners in the United Kingdom. I have a couple of owners in the Midwest. Our former co-host from originally from the show for a few years lived out in California. So I can't do it on the week because, you know, when people get home from work here on the East Coast, they're not home from work yet in the Midwest, and it's pretty late at night in the United Kingdom. So I kind of have to do a weekend. Saturday, it's too likely people are out and about whether during the day and during the night. So it really dictates it has to be Sunday. But your point is well taken, especially at the beginning here of fantasy football season, as well as the real fantasy football season. But back to the conversation at hand, when it comes to New Jersey Devils and their breakout players, the first guy that I have here, I'm not sure if you could call a breakout player because a couple of years ago he had at least debatably a breakout season, and that is Marcus Johansson. George, he's never quite reached the offensive potential that a lot of people thought he is capable of, particularly playing on the Washington Capitals team that he obviously started his career out with a couple of years ago. He did have 24 goals and 34 assists, but a lot of people thought that was just the beginning. Not that they envisioned, you know, Johansson as like a 75-point player, but certainly a player that could push 30 goals. Last year was definitely injury laced and his first year with the New Jersey Devils. So I'm just wondering if he's going to sort of break out and solidify himself as that point-producing top six forward that he was always hoped to be. So he's one guy that I have an eye on. And the other guy I have an eye on, and probably even are looking at a little bit more, depending on his usage, he was a holdout player for the New Jersey Devils. And certainly when you look at contracts, especially with younger players, you know, a contract should not be dictating where you're playing in the lineup. But they gave him a little bit more money, probably because of the holdout, than I thought he would get at $2.75 million. Miles Wood, who I'm talking about, 19 goals last year, And I find that 19 goals particularly impressive because he was bounced around the lineup constantly, played at least a half the season in the bottom six with players who were not exactly point generators. So if he has more of a consistent, playing time, at least in the top nine, if not squeezing into the top six, I'm looking at Miles Wood as being my breakout player for the New Jersey Devils and pushing 25, 27 goals. I think he's got potential to maybe do a little bit better than that, but I don't want to go crazy here. But I could see 27 goals, George, and 50-plus points from Miles Wood, and certainly talking about surprise breakout players and even sleeper-type players, I think he is definitely going to be available for a lot of owners later in their draft. I find him an intriguing possibility, an intriguing mix. All right, George, the Islanders are next, and I'm usually having you go first on all these teams that we're talking about here, but I kind of want your feedback on one of the two players that I'm looking at for the Islanders, because I think this question really goes to how realistically he's going to be a breakout player, and that guy is Pulock for the Islanders, because I really like what I've seen. I feel like, you know, with this team, at least theoretically in the long term, on a better, more solidified track, you know, I'm just more confident in his overall development with the management team and the coach that is now in place, even though Trotz, obviously he's more of a defensive coach, and as, when it comes to his defenseman, I don't think he's necessarily going to go let himself go wild, but obviously only power play two time last year, really no power play one time, still had 10 goals and 32 points overall. If he gets at least, you know, at the very least, the number two power play slot, it's not a shot at the number one power play, and gets in the top four, just gets those consistent minutes, I can see this guy exceeding 40 points. So I'm just kind of curious about your feedback on that, if that's a realistic expectation. But, you know, really my overall and obvious guy would be Bouvillier, and that's a lot of that does have to do with the fact that we think he's going to be the top line left wing next to Barzal. So he'd be my pick, but Pulock is a guy I'm really curious your feedback on. And then, of course, I want to know who you pick for a potential breakout player for the New York Islanders. George?
Well, first off, the New York Islanders. Now, anybody that listens to the show knows I've crushed the Islanders over the past couple of years, right? So we know I'm not a homer. Pulock is a must-get in fantasy leagues because you can get him so cheap. You know, he can be a fourth defenseman. You can get him late in drafts, especially if you're in a non-New York league. New York, right, you got some Islanders fans, they'll know. Kid is good. All right, the kid is very good. And we've really been saying this for years. One of the reasons I think Capuano didn't last very long is because he wouldn't bring Pulock up and play him. Played a little retreads instead. And it ended up really being not the best thing here. Pulock has got a rocket for a shot. And he's only getting better. I mean, he's a good player. He's absolutely a sleeper, you want to call him that. I drafted him in one league. Okay, the Dynasty League, I got him last year. So he's cheap and it was great. And I wanted to get him in a league I was drafting in this year. Someone took him. Someone sniped me just before I was going took him. So I'm fully on board Pulock. I think he'll be great. Same thing with Beauvillier. And I tried, once again, that Dynasty League, he was available in this, we really start round 19 as far as drafting is concerned. I tried to get him, but he went the first round of the draft. You know, and I had the eighth pick. I think he went fourth overall. You know, once again, cheap, top line, playing with Barzal, everything you like. The only worry for Beauvillier is that if Brock Nelson's not working out at second line center, there's a chance he could be moved down. A chance. You know, we know that Atrocity might, because Beauvillier is a center, naturally, so that he could be moved down. No idea if that's going to happen. It would be a November thing or some point during the season if it does happen. But that's your only worry there. So I'm purely on board here. Trotz is making a mistake not putting Pulock on the first power play. And he was called out by the beat writers going, what the hell are you doing? And he tried to cover himself, but I really don't have a power play. One, I have the Barzal power play line and whatever other power play line he's calling it. That's what I really have here. What are you doing? Yeah, the Islanders, as far as the power play, the Islanders don't have another point person anywhere near what he can do. Boychuk may be able to shoot just as hard, but he has no idea where it's going. So it's kind of silly. Trotz is making a mistake. As for sleeper plays for the Islanders, honestly, they should probably have a ton of them. Unfortunately, they signed too many of these veteran players that are taking up roster spots that shouldn't be taken up. You know, and you heard Trotz, I don't want to say admit to it, but, when the Islanders sent down some of their players, and he's like, well, you know, we got to give the players on the contract a chance first. that's their way of saying, yeah, we know Bellows and guys like this are better, you know, Komarov. So we're going to have to play him. That's their way of saying that. So you're looking for other possible breakouts of the Islanders. And like I said, Bouye and Pulak are easy choices. They're there. They're going to play. The fourth line is going to be what the fourth line always was. Matt Martin, Clutterbuck, and Tsitsikas, they're not breakout players. We all know those names. Andrew Ladd will be on the third line once he gets healthy because he's making too much money. Another player that he has to play because of the contract rather than performance. So who are you hoping to break out? That's going to be a big problem with the Islanders. Will there be any playing time for any of these guys? You know, Brock Nelson's a name we know. Eberle, no. Anders Lee, no. So I don't think there's anybody else. Because anybody else you want to name is probably not going to play because of all these veterans that have contracts that the Islanders they give a shot to first. So it really is only Pulak and Beauvillier.
All right, yeah, I think that's you sort of broke that down really well. And sort of interesting what you said in terms of the feedback from Barry Trotz. Moving on to the best teams in the NHL, bar none, my New York Rangers, in the midst of a rebuild. The rebuild that's having one rookie on it? I think two, especially if you consider D'Angelo and Pionk. Not rookies, which I don't really. I guess Pionk, maybe, I guess you could still call a rookie. But, you know, D'Angelo's had enough cups of coffee, so to speak, in the NHL the last couple of years that I don't think you can consider him a true rookie. Not that a breakout player has to be a rookie, you know, but obviously talking about the Rangers and this supposed rebuild. Although, I got to be honest, George, even though I'm sort of being sarcastic and a little critical here, I don't necessarily think it's a bad decision. Some of the decisions they made, they sent down Elias Anderson, which I think a lot of people, maybe even most people, thought was going to automatically make the club. And rather than be a bottom six forward, especially being pushed to wing or being your fourth line forward, much smarter, in my opinion, to keep him down in Hartford and have him play a ton of minutes. But then again, I sort of was always on the bandwagon that I wanted at least Spooner or Nemestikov traded away to give an opportunity to one of these younger players because if you're going to rebuild, then embrace it and bring up the kids and let them play. Let them play a lot. But it's sort of, to the point that we're making, the conversation that we're having, it sort of narrows the field in terms of players that are potential breakout players because a lot of these guys are fairly well established. They are who they are. But, George, despite everything that I just said, when you look at this team, is there anybody who's particularly intriguing to you as a potential breakout player?
Yeah, I completely agree with you about rookies or younger players. If they come up on the NHL team, they must play. If you're not going to play them, you're just going to bury them anyway, then leave them in the AHL. You know, they need to play. These guys can't sit. It's just kind of silly here. They just can't do it. So I'm completely on board here. The Rangers, in my mind, have always been a strange team for the past couple of years. Because it's hard when I look at the Rangers. Yeah, it's the Rangers. Original six team, New York, Broadway, spend money, you know, have no problem spending money. Yet they don't have a superstar. Really not even close. So it's just strange when I look at the Rangers. I think they should have moved on from Lundqvist and traded him for more players. But I understand he's a legacy player. You know, I just think, the time the Rangers get good again, Lundqvist is done. If you could have traded him for something to another team that wanted him, you know, I would have seriously considered that. But maybe you couldn't get, you and I have mentioned him 1,000 times over the years, how you can't get equal value for a goaltender. I understand Lundqvist wants to stay, but I think he's going to be pissed off and frustrated as the season goes on and the Rangers aren't very good. You know, and they're not a playoff team. They're not, very good in front of them. I think he's so used to winning that I wonder if that would have just added here. Not that they would have gotten that superstar player, but I wonder if they should have gone that direction. You look here, there are a lot of names here you can pick for, once again, depending on what you're, you consider a breakout. Nemestikov, he's the first guy that comes to mind. Second line center. I consider Bouchner's already broken out, but if Fines want to go there, Vesey, Hayes, there are a lot of names here. Someone has to score goals here. All right? It's not always going to be Zuccarello, who I think gets traded eventually anyway, Zibanejad and Chris Kreider. Yeah, is it Philippe Chatel back in the fourth line? Defense, you mentioned Pionk, so I'm not going to go into him. But other than that, that's really it. So I don't see a ton of top breakouts, but someone is going to surprise here. Maybe even two. So I'm curious to see which one of those guys. If I was drafting just purely for breakouts, I think Nemestikov would be the first guy I'd go with here. And I wanted these lines. Ryan Spooner, by the way, I guess could be in this conversation as well. But I wonder if these line combinations I'm looking at now change as the season rolls along as well.
Well, I do think that there's going to be a lot of fluidity with the Rangers outside of that top line of Kreider, Zibanejad, and Butch Nevitz, unless, of course, it's, you know, a face plant that doesn't have any production whatsoever, you know, a month or two into the season. That line is pretty much locked in. I think everything after that is a big open question, although I do think you're probably going to have two veterans flanking Hedl. And I think the Mestkoff is going to probably be one of them. Zuccarello might be the other. Hedl is one of the players I am most intrigued to watch and to see how he plays and develops this year. He is not the guy I'm tabbing as a breakout player. I think he's got the talent to do that, but I just don't think that's realistic this year. But I do disagree with you on Butch Nevitz, because you look at his numbers, George, And how has he broken out? He only had 14 goals and 43 points last year, you know, played 74 games and being bounced around the lineup. My complaint that if you're a regular listener, you've probably heard me say this before with Vigneault and Butch Nevitz, and you could say this about a lot of the younger players that Vigneault has coached over the years, is that he makes one mistake and he's banished from the first line to the fourth line for 3 weeks before he's even given a shift in the top six again. I think Quinn is going to basically staple gun him to Zibanejad and Kreider and just going to let him go. And again, unless he goes through a 3-4-5 games where he's playing with his head up as you know what and making a ton of errors, he's going to stay there. I think he's the best chance to have a breakout player. And another guy who just sort of named up there at the end, I'm starting to become cautiously optimistic about it, and that is Ryan Spooner, because I just do not trust Ryan Spooner. I sort of watched him a lot in Boston and felt he had the talent to be a legitimate top six forward. And even though he had a number of opportunities and long stretch opportunities, especially when Krejci a few years ago was injured and was having a lot of trouble with his back, he didn't quite take the mantle and run with it. And he got traded to the Rangers last year, and he was amazing, you know, for those final 20 games. And I just didn't trust it under sort of the same kind of view as we were talking about recently. I forget what in context, but we were talking about how, you know, sometimes when teams are eliminated from the playoffs, they play more relaxed and free and open. And in Spooner's case, I think he likes Boston, but I think he wants to get out of it because I think long-term he knew he didn't have a future there. So, I just kind of attributed it to the end of last year's production as, for those reasons. And I didn't really want to buy in. And like I said, I'm still cautious here, but he's looked just as good for the most part in preseason. I do think he's going to be playing regularly in that top six, most likely. And even if he's on the third line, I think he's going to possibly play with some good people. You know, so he's a guy that I'm kind of intrigued with, especially even though I think, I said that Zuccarello, Nemeskov, I think have a good chance to play with Hedl. I think Spooner is right in that mix. So particularly if Spooner, Hedl, and one of those two guys play on a line together, that could be interesting. I think I'm more of a long shot, but certainly a guy that I'm interested in. And again, if I'm in the last quarter of my draft, especially if it's a deep draft, you know, more 18, 20 rounds, then I'm kind of intrigued here. I think somebody else might snap him up, possibly, before that. But, you know, again, late in the draft, I think he'd be an interesting guy. All right, George, the Ottawa Senators, just the fact that this team is essentially stripping itself down and starting their own rebuild. But in their case, it looks like there will be a few young players on this team, or at least and a couple of players who have been around the league a couple of years, but were, say, in the bottom six for other teams. There does seem at least there's opportunity here for some young rookie types or players with just a year or two experience to have that possible breakout. So, George, is there anybody intriguing to you on Ottawa, or because it's too much of a dumpster fire that we've described it and others have described it, that you just can't see that happening? There's nobody that jumps out at you or nobody you have enough confidence in to even term as a breakout player. George, Ottawa Senators, what do you see?
Yeah, I think we all know. Ottawa could be a good source of breakout players throughout the year. They have to let everybody play pretty much in their organization who can possibly be something. Looking at who's there now, I mean, obviously Brady Tkachuk, if he sticks with the team, comes to mind, that he could be a breakout young player, got the lineage that we all we all know about, so he'd be something to look at there. Ryan DeZingle, is, once again, left wing seems to be where we're going here. Same thing. These kids are going to play. My question was with these younger players, the Kachuks, the Zingles, how much time is Ottawa going to give them? Once again, they're a dumpster fire. They have to know they're one of the worst teams in the league, maybe the worst. So they can let them play for 2 or 3 months. You know, or is it more like, oh, my God, they got 1 point in the first 5 games, back down to the AHL? You know, that sort of thing. So I'm wondering how they'll handle that as far as those two guys are concerned. Chris Tierney is someone I liked when he was at San Jose. And you wonder, a little surprised he's on the third line here right now behind Zach Smith. I want to eventually get that second line center. Not someone you're not going to draft Chris Tierney. Center is so deep, you're just not going to. But someone to keep an eye on during the season as for what we can do here, where he could possibly be. Defense, pretty much anybody. Take your choice there. But none of them are top players. So that'd be my one issue here. But maybe somebody breaks out here. Shabbat, Sessi, I mean. But none of them in my mind are truly fantasy worthy. You'll be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up for me, although I am maybe a little bit higher on Tierney because once Peugeot went down, everything that I'm seeing and reading says that Tierney will be the second-line center, where that would not have been the case if Peugeot did not go down. He would have gotten that opportunity. And I really like what I saw from Tierney in San Jose as the third-line center last year, so he's intriguing to me. I really like that DeZingle shout-out possibly. And everything that you said is exactly right. There are a couple other guys, specifically Colin White and Tkachuk, who I do think have some real potential to be a breakout player, but I think as of right now, especially since, as far as I know, they have not cut down their roster, at least as of an hour before showtime, they haven't cut down their roster yet, so we don't know if Brady Tkachuk is sticking with the team. We don't know if Colin White, I expect Colin White to be on the team, but is he going to be in that top six as he got opportunity with last year when they had injury problems, or are they going to sort of, quote-unquote, ease him in as, say, a third-line center or a third-line winger? So that's sort of like the big question there. So, again, I like the way you sort of put it. You know, a lot of these Ottawa centers, I probably wouldn't draft them, but I keep an eye on as potential pickups later in the season. All right, George. Philadelphia Flyers, a team that a lot of people are liking quite a lot for this year to make the playoffs, a conversation we'll probably end up having on Monday. When you look at this team, who would you have to be a potential breakout player for them?
Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know why people are shocked they're going to make the playoffs. I could barely find 8 playoff teams in the Eastern Conference. NHL is turning into sort of what Major League Baseball was this year. A lot of good teams and a lot of bad teams. So Philadelphia is one of the good ones. Not great, but they're good. Okay, breakout players, Philadelphia. Once again, are we going Nolan Patrick? Could he be considered a breakout? He's the top pick as far as the NHL is concerned here. But he'd be somebody who might be considered a breakout, so I certainly would like to grab there. Sean Couturier, pretty much up the middle alone for Philadelphia. I don't think Couturier is a breakout. I think we know him, but once again, I'm just throwing a name out there. Other than that, I don't really see anybody here. Once again, playoff teams I don't think playoff teams are going to have breakouts because they have reliable veterans. Are we going as far as, you know, Travis Konechny? Somebody, I don't really want to go for him. JVR is there. They have Voracek, Giroux, guys we know are going to be there. Certainly not going to be Yuri Laterra, who has some legal issues to deal with there. Good luck to you, Yuri. Possible cocaine problems. Nice. Stories you just don't hear about professional athletes getting possibly involved in cocaine rings. What the hell? You're not making enough money? Just strange. So I don't really see a lot here as far as breakouts, Scott. I think most of their breakout players have broken out already. Last year, this time, we would have said Provorov, who broke out. Couturier, in my mind, is not a breakout. Nolan Patrick, I think technically could break out, but we know the name already, so is he really on this list? But I think he'd be somebody who could break out. Oscar Lindblom, but once again, is crowded. He's not going to get a top six position here. That's the other problem here. Right now, Wayne Simmons is on the third line, and that shouldn't happen. You know, that's why I have to believe eventually Konechny not going to play on that top line. Maybe it goes back to being Voracek, and Simmons, once he's healthy, is on the second line.
A nice breakdown of the Philadelphia Flyers. And I think it is Nolan Patrick. I mean, because, you know, 13 goals, 17 points is, kind of, it's fine for a rookie season. But it's not what we're expecting from this guy. We're expecting this guy to sort of develop into a legitimate top six center, if not eventually top line center, which might be pushing it a little bit. But when you're drafted like second overall in the NHL, we're expecting, you know, that kind of potential from you, you know. So I definitely think, you know, and especially when you look at the last 20 games or so, 25 games or so of last year, it looked like he finally got comfortable and finally sort of relaxed and started producing. He's going to be flanked almost definitely by Voracek and JVR. I don't know how he doesn't get you 50 points, if not a little bit more, especially if he has a really good year. And I know what you say. I think everything that you said about Lindbrom makes complete sense. Is he banished, quote unquote, to the third line? I don't sort of view it that way. He's going to play on the third line at least initially with Wade Simmons on the other side. Young player Vorobyev looks like he's going to get most likely the third line center spot there. So if Vorobyev has any pulse at all. And Lindbaum has looked really good in preseason. And again, you take that with a little bit of a grain of salt because of this preseason, the first half of preseason games you're playing against essentially other AHL-level clubs, or at least clubs that are half the roster's AHL-level. So again, take it with at least a little bit of a grain of salt. But I thought Lindbaum has looked very good in the preseason, so I'm particularly intrigued by him. And again, you have a legitimate top six forward on the other line. Pressure is going to be off in the third line. You're going to get better matchups. You know, so if he gets any power play time and expect him to get some second power play time, at least on occasion, you got potential there for a breakout. So, again, Lindbrom is intriguing. I think Nolan Patrick's be a virtual lock. And just a word on Konecny, I like Konecny, and especially if he stops lands on that top line, he's certainly a guy who's worth taking in the last third of your draft, or at least the second half of your draft. And I don't mean this as a cut him down at all, but I think you're kind of got what you're going to get from Konecny. You know, 24 goals, 23 assists last year. I do think he can be a little bit better than that. But a little bit better than that. I'm not expecting him to become a 30-plus goal, 30-plus assist guy. I think his ceiling is kind of like 27 goals, 28 assists, 55-point kind of guy. So he's kind of already there. So to your point of, I don't really would consider him a breakout. I think you sort of know what you're going to get most likely. But Nolan Patrick is definitely the guy go here. Pittsburgh Penguins certainly falls under that category that you were just describing of an established team, a team that basically has, for the most part, a lot of veterans on it. So unless a veteran is going to far exceed what they've ever done before, I don't know if there's a whole lot to choose from here either, George. But since we are at least entertaining the question, what do you see of the Pittsburgh Penguins with the potential for somebody to break out? George?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, you look at the top nine players here. They're all names we know, with the exception of Dominic Simon. And he'll need someone to get hurt to really move up and do anything. So I'm not really expecting much here. Defense is where you could sort of look here, but even that, you got Letang, Schultz, Olimata, Jack Johnson, you know, Dumoulin. Is he a breakout? So, no, I don't have a breakout player for you here. I guess if I had to pick one, like I said, I'd go to Dominic Simon on the third line left wing. Maybe somebody gets hurt and he moves up. But other than that, this is a playoff team. They are what they are because of the top players they have. So I don't have anybody for you. You want to go Olimata because he really hasn't broken out yet? Okay. You know, I can sort of see that. But once again, I'm not betting on it.
No, I actually kind of like, that sort of call out of Mata for the very reason that you just said, the fact that he's not actually put up the offensive numbers that I think a lot of us thought he was capable of when he first got to the league. Now, if you're talking that we know of, this player would certainly not be in the category. And I think some people are going to be like, what, when I say it? But Jason Zell is my breakout player here because, George, he's done fabulously in the playoffs. I don't have to tell anybody that who even plays passing, attention to the NHL, particularly the playoffs, because he's put up such great numbers. But George, he's got 38 goals in a season and a half of play, and for the NHL. So he hasn't broken out in the regular season, is my point. You know, 22 goals, 48 points last year, especially for a guy, a goal scorer, and for the way that he's produced in the playoffs, you're thinking this guy should be an automatic 30-goal scorer. He hasn't done that yet in the regular season. So I think he would sort of fit out here. Not a sleeper player, because we all know his name, but in terms of breaking out and far exceeding the production that he's put up in the regular season so far, I think he has prime potential here. Another long shot guy, but I stress long shot because I'm not confident he's going to get the ice time he needs to break out. But Daniel Sprong, I think they're hoping he becomes that top line right wing next to Gazelle and Crosby. But we've seen in the past, and in the last couple of years in particular, but I think you can go back even farther, Sidney Crosby has a relative revolving door of wingers on both sides. I mean, I know they like Hornquist for, with him, but over the course of the last 5 years or so, they keep gravitating to putting Hornquist with Malkin rather than Crosby, even though he plays well with Crosby because they have a harder time finding guys to play well with Malkin. So Sprong would be sort of my long shot guy here. Gunsell would be the guy I'd go with. I mean, if you're going to look for him, obviously you still got to get him a little bit in the top half, middle of your draft. You know, and when I say top half, I'm not talking top four rounds or anything like that, you know. But the meat of your draft, you're definitely going to have to get him. But I think people are going to be drafting him that way because of the production he's had in the playoffs, not the production that he's had in the actual regular season. So he's the guy I'd look at. And again, Sprong, especially if he ends up sticking in that top six in any real meaningful way, would be the guy that I'd go with. All right, George, next on our list would be the San Jose Sharks. The San Jose Sharks who made that earth-shattering Erik Karlsson trade. George, do you think Karlsson might break out this year? Okay, I'm kidding, obviously. But when you look at this team, it's sort of had some moving parts, you know, especially outside that top line. And obviously, forgetting about the joke about the defense, there have been some moving parts in players, especially younger players, in that middle six, that second and third line. Anybody from there that you think could have a chance to break out and put their name on the map this year?
Yeah, San Jose is another team that's primed for bear here, but they have some younger players. They also traded some of them to Ottawa. Timo Meier was going to play second line right wing, either him or Jonas Donskoy. Another guy I like, actually Donskoy, I keep looking at the draft in this heavy keeper league. His salary is cheap that I keep thinking about but can't quite pull the trigger yet. Hurdle's already broken out, so I don't think we can include him. Kevin LeBlanc is another guy I kind of like who just went in that league. So, once again, I think these are guys you lower-end guys. They're dartboard throws. I'd want the guy who right now who's scheduled to play on the second line, top six forward. That'd be Meier. But you got to be very close here. It wouldn't shock me at all if Donskoy ends up getting that job, either before the season starts or right after the season starts. On defense, you know, the problem is this. Even if you had somebody you liked, you know Karlsson and Burns are taking up 90%. Of all the offensive opportunities there, including all the power play time. So it's going to be tough there. I mean, if you like something like Joachim Ryan, Brandon Dillon, and I'm not really big on those guys anyway, but I don't think anyone's breaking out there. I think you're looking at the offensive guys. For a good team, I think maybe a little surprised that they still have these guys that I kind of like to break out yet, which could be saying something good about the team. So if one or two of these guys do break out, they'll even be better than expected, although I still expect this team to really rely on Evander Kane, Logan Couture, and Joe Pavelski to really carry most of the heavy lifting.
I'm totally on board with everything that you said, but particularly that Meier is the guy that I'm looking for. 21 goals last year, playing mostly on the third line. Looks like he is solidifying that spot on the second line, as you said. So that 21 goals, 36 points, I expect at least 25 goals and 50 points out of Meier this year, so I definitely think he'd be a really nice guy, you know, at a minimum. And I think he could, especially if he clicks with Couture, you know, possibly exceed that and push 30 goals. I'm not going to sort of predict that because I think that, you know, it isn't quite as likely, but I'm pretty confident $25 goals you could sort of put in the bank when it comes to Meier and the San Jose Sharks. All right, the next team on our list, St. Louis Blues, what most of us feel really sort of had one of the nicest and best makeovers of the off season. Does that translate into any likely breakouts in your mind, though? George?
Yeah, I said breakouts are always tricky. I'm actually up next in that draft. I'm going to have to make a pick on air, something I don't think I've ever done while the show has been on. Haven't done too many drafts while in the afternoon. So good for me. And actually, Ole Mata, we just discussed, is actually on my board, Scott, about making about $4 million a year. Ole Mata, Ryan McDonough, Jake Gardner, Adam Larson, and Alec Martinez, all in the same price range there, with McDonough being the highest at $4.7 million. It's funny in drafts how what you have to weigh at times. For St. Louis, they are a team we're talking about. Right now, I think I lost my track here. St. Louis?
Yes, St. Louis.
St. Louis. Yeah, Parayko actually just went in that draft. I won't be taking him, but that's okay. He's disappointed me for years. I keep taking him in the league you and I are in, and he keeps not putting up the numbers I want. Another veteran-like team, but they have, once again, Patrick Maroon sort of already broken out. David Perron already broken out. Alexander Steen broken out. So we're going down to the third line here. Now, you know who I'm going to talk about, Scott. All right, a guy who can't stay healthy, gets hurt every year. We know he has talent, but he gets hurt every year. He's hurt now, but apparently it's not serious. That's Robbie Fabry. Give me 60 games. 60 games, see what the man can do? I mean, if he can ever play 75, I think he'd have really nice numbers here. The problem is, I don't want to say the Blues have given up on him, because that's not true. But now where he would have been a top six forward in years past, he's not now. Because they can't rely on him. I mean, they know that. You know, so now he's stuck in the third line. He'd have to hope that, A, he stays healthy, and, B, someone else doesn't. They're going to move up there to really get top six forward time, to get some power play time, or meaningful power play time. Even though I don't mind the third line for this team. I mean, this is how good a team the Blues are. You know, it's Robbie Fabry, Tyler Bozak, Alexander Steen. Yes, I know the joke. Steen gets hurt, you know, three times a year as well. I know that. But, you know, when all healthy, this is a really good third line, maybe one of the best in the NHL. So I like these guys, but not really much room here for people, you know, to really move up and do some damage here because, once again, veteran team, playoff team, we know what they're going to do. Defense, Pietrangelo, Parayko, Bumgarner, even Edmondson, we know the name. There's no room here for anybody either. You know, so for me, it's all about Robbie Fabry and staying healthy. And, you know, I know that's a running joke there. There are a couple of other players who are lower on the depth chart here. Barbashev's Shoshnikov, who I don't know how much of an impact they'll make depending on health and if they make the team. But Fabry is the guy I look at, but he's the guy I've got for the first time this year. I'll not be taking him because I know there's certain guys who just don't have the one ability they don't have is availability, and he's it in spades.
Yeah, you really sort of put Fabry perfectly in a nutshell. He's still my guy because I think if he could sort of come back and stay as a lineup regular, which, you know, you detailed is not certainly not a guarantee, but he's a guy we both had an eye on for the last couple of years, and you know, obviously it's been undercut by injuries. Coming into preseason before he got hurt, it looked like he had that he was legitimately in the mix for that. For a top six forward spot, maybe even on the top line with Riley and Tarasenko. It looks like, at least to start the season, that Maroon might be getting that spot. But, you know, when he gets back in the lineup, like I said, if he could, you know, play reasonably well and doesn't look like he's, like, super hurt, I think he might still squeeze in that lineup. But again, to the point that you already made, even if he is on the third line with Bozak and Steen, another player who, as you detailed, you know, has trouble staying healthy himself, that's not such a bad third line. So I'm still kind of on the Fabry bandwagon, but where I would have taken him, like, say, on my Sunday draft or the draft tonight where it's 20 and 21 rounds, where I would have taken a chance on him somewhere in, like, you know, the 12th round, yeah, okay, maybe I'm waiting to the 15th, 16th round. Now, if he's even available there because of the questions that we're talking about here. But I still like him a lot. I still feel like he can be a legitimate, productive player if he can stay healthy. He has to prove that first, which obviously is why he's sort of slipping. On defense, a slight disagreement, you know, not really, because I think, you know, all the points that you made are valid here. But I did like what I saw from Vince Dunn. You're not going to get power play time out of him. Although he did get some last year and put up 9 power play points in sort of limited action that he got there, so that might sort of facilitate him, you know, getting more. Because, you know, let's be honest, Parayko sort of flatlined last year and a half compared to what, you know, he had done the couple of previous years when Shattenkirk was still there but injured. He inherited all of Shattenkirk's power play time and did really well with it. And then Shattenkirk left, so you figure that was going to stay, and it didn't really translate the points, so it was weird. So Vince Dunn's sort of a long shot guy. 19 points in his rookie year, 5 of those goals, 2 of those on the power play. Like I said, if I'm sort of taking a chance, and again, with defensemen, are we really taking many chances? Most leagues have 4 defensemen that you're starting. How many of us really take more than 5? And a lot of us take 4. You know, so this is really more of a guy that I'm keeping an eye on and see if he sort of clicks in and gets regular top 4 time, because he was playing a lot with Peter Angel last year as the top pairing. I think maybe Edmondson gets that slot, but I wouldn't be shocked if he continues that. And then, again, you're getting at least a lot of ice time. You might be able to sort of, get some points out of that. So really more of a guy to watch than necessarily take a chance on in the draft, but he's a guy that I'm sort of intrigued with, I should say. Tampa Bay Lightning, George, maybe more than any other team except the Pittsburgh Penguins that we talked about on Monday or today, a team that we know the players, most of the players that we know have already broken out already. So this is just as hard, in my opinion, if not harder, than the Pittsburgh Penguins in terms of choosing a breakout player. But I'm going to at least ask you for a name anyway. So, George, Tampa Bay Lightning, who has the best potential to break out, in your opinion?
First I'm going to complain about slow drafts. When you're in a slow draft, and we all do them, baseball, hockey, they are convenient, because we don't have to worry about sitting up a draft day. But you know what drives me insane? Is when you see somebody talking in the chat room, and they're around. And then when it's their turn to pick, they're nowhere to be found. Drives me insane. How can you be talking in a chat room yet not realize it's your turn to pick? I'm next, so I want this guy to make his pick so I can make mine and go away for at least a few hours, probably to him. We're drafting tonight to make the next pick in that league. But so, okay, I'm done with my little rant here. You're right about the Lightning. This is another way it comes down to what your definition of breakout is. I mean, Alex Killorn's going to play on the top line as of right now, so he could certainly be on this list for players. The third line, they keep jumbling it all around. Right now, technically, Yanni Gerard is not on the third line. I think that's crazy. You can make an obvious being a top 6 forward pretty easily. If you don't consider him breaking out, he'd be that person. Don't forget about Braden Point in your fantasy leagues. He's broken out, but still not a household name. Guys who you may not know, Anthony Cirelli could be somebody. We're talking about deeper leagues here. We know, Tampa Bay is loaded for bear. You know what the top 6 forward is pretty much going to be. That's really about it. Corey Konecker, but not really someone I expect to do all that much. The defense, it's loaded with veterans. I mean, Mikhail Sergachev is a guy who is a name you may not know. You know Hedman, you know Stralman, you know McDonough, you know Girardi. Even Braden Colmer's been around forever. So Sergachev's the only person I would say there. This team is loaded. And that's what you're going to see with loaded playoff teams. They're not going to have too many prime time spots. Those top 6 forwards, top line defensemen, power play time. They're just not going to have many for players that you don't know. Killorn is the one guy who does stand out, because I think that's the one guy who may not be a household name who is in a prime time spot. But I don't think he lasts there all season. I don't. I don't know why technically Yanni Gerard is on that fourth line right now. Is he being punished? I think eventually he has to get a top six, top line or second line. That's what I want to say with Yanni Gerard. I don't know why right now he's on the fourth line. I don't know what Cooper's trying to, what statement he's trying to make here.
Tampa Bay is one of those teams, especially looking at their line combinations right now, I don't trust any of them. Not at the moment, not what we've seen, even in the last game or two of preseason when you're starting to field what's going to likely be your lineup or at least close to it. So I think, and I'm just sort of saying that to sort of drive home the point that you made about, Yanni Gord in particular, where, he could very easily work his way into the top 6, top 9 at worst. I'm not entirely confident that Killorn stays on that top line. I could see them wanting to move Miller lower in the lineup, but obviously he worked so well there last year that I wouldn't be the least bit of a surprise here. So this also complicates it in terms of trying to figure out who a potential breakout player is, on top of the reasons that we already said that you have a playoff and veteran-laden team here with most of the players kind of breaking out. You bring up a good point about Braden Point, that he might just not be the household name yet, so he sort of might sort of fall into that sort of category of what we're talking about here. But considering Braden Point, at least from my end of the conversation, broken out, considering and thinking the same thing with Gord, with, you know, 25 goals and 64 points, how is that not a breakout? And how to, and again, the TP has a top nine, let alone top six. Anthony Cirelli, George, is an intriguing name, I think likely to be your third-line center. And just because of the overflow here, George, he's going to be playing with at least one quality, debatably top six forward. And I only say debatably because, you know, Killorn, I think, you know, is a guy who's shown he can play in the top six with talented players, but in a vacuum, I really think of him as a second-line, third-line left wing. You know, so if he sort of falls down there, again, you know, he's still a good player, you know, and he's still, you know, a decent player Cirelli to pair with, you know, but I think that, but my point is that's the worst that I think Cirelli's playing with. He had 11 points in the 18 games last year before hitting the playoffs, you know, so is he going to be playing with a Killorn, a Tyler Johnson, a Gord if he can't get into the top six, a JT Miller if they move him down, Pawat if he gets pushed down in the top six, which I don't think happens in his case, you know. But the point is he's going to be playing with some pretty good players, and obviously you're talking third line, better matchups. He's gotten his feet wet and he's comfortable now in the NHL, at least he should be after having a cup of coffee last year and then at the end of the year and then playing the playoffs. So he's the guy, kind of the long shot, maybe sleeper guy. He's actually probably a better sleeper than a breakout pick to talk about. And I want to double down on the Sergachev pick because I think people who know him and are familiar with him, but they look at this team and they go, oh, if I'm picking a defenseman, I'm going to pick Hedman. I'm going to pick McDonough. But I think Sergachev is going to get better time, at least offensive opportunities, than McDonough does. They might both end up on the power play, but I see Sergachev getting more opportunity on the power play. And he had 40 points last year, George. When I looked up his numbers earlier, you know, actually it was back when we were doing, you know, defensive rankings, I was surprised that I was like, oh, like he had 40 points. I didn't even realize it. 9 goals, 31 assists. I think he's at least matching that this year. And I think that even if he doesn't get like a, you know, a primary power play time, he's going to get even more consistent power play time than he last year. So I just think the chances of him, getting good points, just increase, or at least equaling what he did last year, is a virtual guarantee. Or I don't want to use the word guarantee, but it's pretty likely and possibly exceeding that as well. Wow, we really do talk a lot, or at least I did, because it's a lot later than I expected. So let's hurry it up a little bit here with the last five or six teams we've got to talk about. Toronto Maple Leafs. George, we all know they're going 82-0 this year. And they do have some younger players. You know, on top of obviously the established players that we know, there are a few younger players that have legitimately not broken out yet that are going to be on this team. It's just a question of what slot they're going to end up being and will they get the opportunity to really put up a lot of offensive points. So, Toronto Maple Leafs, anybody fall in this category that you particularly like to possibly break out? George?
Well, not only are they going 82-0, but they're going to win each game about 9-0. So there's lots of goals around here for everybody. The guys you're looking at, Tyler Ennis, right wing. I think that changes though. Once again, the Nylander situation is going to throw things all out of whack here. And once that gets settled, he'll be moved up there. Zach Hyman's right now scheduled for the second left wing on the second side. I don't think that stays either. They're moving players all around here. Another, I think what you said before, I forget which team you're talking about. You don't trust the line combinations. It's pretty much what I would say here as well. I don't trust really any of these here. But once again, players to look at here. Kadri's already broken out. Kasperi Kapanen is someone I like. But once again, can he get into that role where any kind of prime time activity here? I just don't know. So I think that's the problem here with Toronto. I really don't see anybody on defense that we don't know already. Nikita Zaitsev, somebody to keep an eye on, sure. But it's really Gardner, Riley. Those are the guys you're going to really look for there.
Oh, I think that Enos pick is actually really savvy, even more so if the Nylander, you know, drama sort of goes on. And I love what you said about Kapanen, but I completely agree. He is a guy that I've actually really been excited to see and hoping he gets more of an opportunity the last year and a half, and hasn't quite gotten that. I think, you know, he's going to make the team, but it's hard to see him getting, you know, obviously in the top six. That's just not going to be realistic. But, you know, is he going to be a regular top nine guy? Or is he going to be sort of pushed down to the fourth line? That's the really big question for him. So, again, I don't know if I can pull the trigger even in a deep draft of drafting him, but he's definitely going to at least start the season on my watch list. And if it looks like he's solidifying a top nine spot, then it's somebody that I'm that much more intrigued with. and I think he's got the capability to break out. But again, to your point, I don't know if it's realistic that he'll get enough time for that to happen. All right, George, Vancouver Canucks, another team in the midst of a rebuild, and it looks like they're finally fully embracing it, for the most part, I guess. So again, there's definitely going to be a few guys, younger guys in particular, who are going to get opportunities. It's just a matter of whether you like them enough to consider them a sleeper or, more importantly, a breakout kind of player. So, George, what do you think about the Canucks and the guys that they have there with potential to break out?
Yeah, Horvat and Bowes already broke out last year, so I'm looking at and sort of a Barchi, by the way, on the second line left wing. I'm looking at Elias Pettersson, somebody second line center. Once again, bad team. It's the exact opposite. A lot of players going to get opportunities. Perform, and you'll get those prime time minutes where you'll be able to show what you can do. Don't perform, then move on to somebody else. But we'd rather have a chance where they can. Brandon Leipzig, left wing. Marcus Granlund is someone who's available in this league I'm talking about, whose salary is nice. I just don't know. I think we may have already seen the best of him. So that's my concern about Granlund the other way. He's not going to be as good. We already saw his outlier season. He's not going to be that good. So that concerns me there. Defense, Edler's still there, which is amazing. Delzato. Troy Stecker, once again, could get some power play time there. Someone has to. They really don't have a power play quarterback. Someone that really has to step up there to anchor the first and or second line power play. Hey, need a goaltender. We all do. It's like closing baseball. Markstrom's there. Bad team, but it's not all his fault. He's a solid, as far as where he is and what tier he's in, way down. He's looking at 20 as far as goaltenders. You could do worse, maybe.
I can't help but laugh the way you phrased that. For this team, George, if you asked me a week and a half ago, I would have had a much harder time in choosing a potential sleeper breakout player kind of here. But I've really liked what I've seen from Pettersson. I've been very impressed, at least in what I've seen so far. And he's had a really nice chemistry, at least in preseason, with Goldobin. So those are the two guys that I'm sort of looking at. I might take a chance on Pettersson in particular. If I'm picking later in a draft, Goldblum, I just don't think he's going to get picked, but I kind of like him almost as much. And again, part of that is based on at least this early chemistry that I've seen, but I'd be more likely to sort of take a chance of keeping him on my, watch list to start the season. And, hey, if somebody else picks him late in a draft, good for you, for taking that risk, right there. All right, Vancouver Canucks again. Vegas Golden Knights, George, another team that's still got, a number of players on the team who at least we think haven't quite tapped their full potential there, especially outside those top two lines. But again, is that going to translate into some real, opportunity to put up points is the big question here. So, Golden Knights, George, who would you tab as your potential breakout player?
Hell, didn't they all break out last year? Is there anybody left? Carlson, Smith, they got Pacioretty now, Stasny. How about Alex Tuck, right? I think he could be a breakout. He made some noise last year as well, has the great last name. Nosek on the third line. Evercola had more moments last season as well. Cody Eakin's a guy I like when he was at Dallas, but I don't expect major things here. Oscar Lindberg. I think those are guys you're looking at there. Defense, it's Colin Miller for me, a guy I think you had in the league we played in last year. But he's a name where you probably don't know him. You didn't realize he had a really good – for 2 months last year, he was really good. And then he got quiet again, which is not surprising there. But Colin Miller, I think, is someone as a D4, even a D3, I wouldn't mind using. Once again, I like it when you have guys who are sort of unknowns who are going to play on that on the PP1.
Oh, yeah. So a good choice. And Tuck is definitely the guy I'm going with here for the guy that I'm focusing on, because I do think he's going to end up on that second line with Stasny and Pacioretty, at least to start. And now that Shea Theodore has signed, he's kind of the guy. I like what you said about Miller, and I did have him on my team last year, but he worries me how much he faded the second half of the year. Theodore, I think, is just starting to tap his potential. So on defense, he was the guy that I would sort of take a chance on there. But Tuck is the guy that I'd specifically go with, agreeing with you. Washington Capitals, how much opportunity is there for somebody to break out on a cup-winning team? Is there anybody that we don't know George, anybody who jumps out here for you?
Yeah, so now we go to the other Stanley Cup team from the Stanley Cup winning team from last year. It's not going to be a whole lot here. Once again, veteran team, playoff team, blah, 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 we all know. You mean Tom Wilson? We all know the name, but you realize he might be a decent fantasy player. Yeah, I mean, he's sort of the bodyguard for Alexander Ovechkin. It's sort of what we used to see back in the days with Gretzky. Well, for that matter, Clark Gillies of the Islanders, as far as guys who would be protectors on the ice. You know, but the problem is Wilson is much more in the Gretzky mold, where in the Clark Gillies mold, but he can play as well. This is not a bad player. So he may be someone who can help your team, especially if you've got hits in there, too. If you play with penalty minutes, God, this guy can be a nice little bonus because he's not going to be someone who scores 3 goals. He may hit the 20-goal mark this year. I wouldn't be shocked. He had 14 last year. Didn't always play with Ovechkin. So I think he can be somebody that can definitely help your fantasy team. I hate the man, you know, but I think he could, once again, I think he's somebody who can help sort of, killing two birds with one stone. That kind of player there. So I don't mind taking taking a shot on him. Second line, Burakovsky. I wonder if he gets that second line job over Verano. One of those two guys I think would be a nice play. Burakovsky's got to stay healthy. That could be a problem with him. Lars Eller, Brett Connolly is another guy. We sort of saw people speculating on him last year, taking him at the end of drafts, hoping he would break out. Really didn't. Maybe this is the year for him. Defense, I don't know if I see anybody here. I mean, we all know Carlson's going to have most of the stuff there. Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov, these are all names we already know.
Yeah, I like the way you started out there. You know, Tom Wilson, I'm pretty much down with everything he said. I think he's known because of his penalty minutes and the hits that he gives, obviously, if you have those categories in your league. But I do agree that I expect him to threaten and maybe cross that 20-goal mark this year, you know, especially since he sort of, you know, got comfortable playing on that top line last year. Maybe he could build on that offensively. But it's the two guys you talk about that I'm centering on, which is Verana and Burakovsky. Essentially, whoever wins that second-line left-wing job, Borkowski, not so different from Marcus Johansson, you know, that we were talking about earlier, starting with the Devils, you know, that we've sort of been waiting for him to break out, haven't quite done it yet. You know, I think injuries did contribute a little bit to it last year in terms of stunting him, but I really like the way that Verana looked late in the season, and particularly in the playoffs when he got some opportunities in the middle of that playoff run when they were having some injuries and they kind of needed to sort of move him up into the top six. And he looked really good on that top line, actually, with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. But Trost, and obviously we have a different coach now. You know, I mean, I do expect Tom Wilson to stay there because it worked so well last year. But he looked awfully good on that top line. The couple of games that he was there, there was just, you know, with Trost, it was like, all right, I'm just not going to keep all those three offensive players together without having some sort of defensive conscience. You know, it's not that I'm suggesting, again, that Braun is going to take that spot. But again, it did cross my mind as well, but I'm totally on board with everything you said. And then finally, the Winnipeg Jets, George, another team that we got to know really well. You know, one of those anonymous teams because they play well in Winnipeg. And at least here in the States, outside of the big names like Wheeler and now Scheffelay, maybe Little and Laine, you know, not too many people know who's the rest of the guys on that team. Obviously, Bufflin as well. But again, there's some players here that aren't as well known that could break out. George, are there anybody other than these big names that I've already mentioned that you think have that potential?
You know, Bufflin. He's actually available in that league I'm drafting in right now. And I'm taking a defenseman now. I mentioned the guys I'm taking. But he's at $7.6 million. So like I said, big names are available. John Carlson's available. P.K. Subban, available. They just make too much money. Even I can't fit him on my roster either, although I'd like to. And so it is my pick now, Scott. It's my pick. And Dan, we're going to take right now to determine who my pick's going to be. McDonough, Gardner, Larson, Martinez, Mata. Scott, who would you take?
Gardner. No question.
Gardner it is. That's who I was thinking. He's also the cheapest of the bunch, so that also makes it kind of easier there, and it'll save me some cash. So Gardner it is, and I'm still under the cap, and look at that. Gardner is now he pretty much replaces Seth Jones for me. I have Seth Jones, and he'll be on the IR, which will save me another $5.4 million. So Seth Jones, by the way, out 4 to 6 weeks for anybody who didn't pay attention, so you're not going to see him until November. And I wouldn't freak out in drafts about Seth Jones, by the way. Hockey, forever season. Okay, he's out the full 6 weeks. He'll be back in November, early November. He's going to miss 10 games. Fine, I'll take him. I'm not worried about Seth Jones. I did a draft the other night, and he went a couple of rounds later than normal, and that's fine. So you got a little discount out of him, but I'm not panicking about Seth Jones. So a little PSA for everybody there. Okay, Winnipeg. I know you know me. I love Winnipeg. Really love Winnipeg. I just like all of the talent they have here. My only problem is, okay, who's going to break out? Because even they've already broken out. There's not much room. It's Kyle Connor broke out last year. But he's a name that everybody knows, so maybe him. Are we going down to fourth line, Andrew Kopp? You know, it could be center, who another guy I thought about taking in this league, only makes $1 million. Might be my next pick, actually. Lowry, you know, Veselainen, Roslovic. I mean, these are all guys, but Perreault, Scheifele, Wheeler, Laine, Brian Little, Nikolai Ehlers, I mentioned Connor. How are they getting these guys out of the top six? As it is, one of those guys I mentioned can't be in the top six. So that's going to be an issue there at times. Defense, I think, is really where, after Buffalo and maybe Tyler Myers, you probably don't know Josh Morrissey. Jacob Trouba is a guy who really deserves to be on more fantasy teams or get more love for fantasy. Joe Morrow, Dmitry Kulikov, those are really where I think you can focus on this team. This team is loaded with young talent all over the place.
Yeah, and you know, I think everything you said is you really got to look at the back line here. Although I do have a forward that I am sort of favoring, everything you said, I think the only guy, and you know, it's really, it's almost unfair because you're right, he did break out. I do feel that Kyle Connor is the overlooked guy here that kind of nobody knows. And that might be a little bit of exaggeration to say that nobody knows because, you know, 31 goals, because that is sort of, you know, bring up your profile at least a little bit. But I think, you know, everybody looks at Scheifele, Wheeler, Laine, Ehlers, Little when they think of the Winnipeg Jets, and people just don't think of Kyle Connor. So I just feel like he's going to fall a couple of rounds later than he probably likely could. But to the point that we're making in the conversation that we're having about breakout players, he really already broke out. Although I did see one of the Winnipeg beat writers brought up an excellent point, sort of looking at his shots and where he puts his shots, and he puts most of his shots like in the center of a goaltender. And his point was, wow, he scored 31 goals last year. If he ever learns how to hook, how to pick the corners like Laine does, my God, he's got another potential 40 plus goal scorer on this team if he could do that. But Roslovic is the guy that I'm sort of looking at because I think he's going to get a legit opportunity to be your third-line center. He's going to be playing on the third line properly with Perreault, who's a pretty darn good guy to be playing on the third line with. You know, so that's a pretty good starter. But, yes, I'm totally on board. And George, you've heard me say it a couple of times since the end of last year that, you know, Morrissey's kind of my sleeper guy. When we had the sleeper show and sleeper pick, Morrissey was my sleeper pick. You know, really good offensive defenseman in juniors in particular. It's not uncommon for even offensive defensemen to take a couple of years to get comfortable in the NHL before they really realize their offensive potential. But to the point that you just made about Trouba, I think it is sort of equally well, especially since these guys are essentially your top line. You know, I mean, I know Bufflin's right up there, but like when you're playing on 5-on-5, at least when you look at the time from last year, Trouba and Morrissey got a little bit of the favorability. Obviously, Bufflin getting, you know, the number one power play time, you know, so he's the stud there, certainly, from an offensive standpoint. But don't overlook these guys, especially if you're looking at like fourth fantasy defenseman. In Trouba's case, maybe a number three fantasy defenseman. I think these guys are very, very worthy. Well, George, again, I sort of, didn't judge our time very well. I thought we'd have a 45-minute show today. We went over an hour. Apologies for that, but thank you for sticking with me. I'll let you go now, but I will see you later tonight in our draft. And I'll just remind our listeners once again that if you are just coming to prepare yourself for the National Hockey League season or the Fantasy Hockey League season, you're definitely going to want to warm up with all the shows that we've done in the last 2 months, starting in August when we went team by team around the NHL, looking at each team's off season, their upcoming season, and their fantasy value. So you want to check those out. And as I said at the top of the show, if you're preparing yourself here late for your fantasy drafts, you'll want to check out our team by team top 25 plus breakdowns for centers. We did top 40 and as well as had fantasy drafting and fantasy season tips peppered all throughout that. Should certainly help you sharpen yourself up for your Fantasy Hockey League as well as the NHL. Have a good hockey weekend, everybody. If you haven't done your draft yet, good luck in it, and wish me luck as well, especially against the defending champion, George, in the league that we're in. I did come up, I was the runner-up, but I want to overtake him this year and have those bragging rights over him. Have a good hockey weekend, everybody. Weekend, that is. We'll talk to you on Monday.